Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Number 15. Dharmartham apinehetha yatrartham varano dhanam anihani hamanasya Mahaher Iva Vrittita. Dharma Artham. In religion or economic development. Api, indeed. Na, not. Iheta, should try to obtain. Yatra artam, just to maintain the body and soul together. Va, either. Andana, one who has no wealth. Danam, money. Aniha, the desirelessness. Anihamanasya. Of a person who does not endeavor even to earn his livelihood. Mahahe. The great serpent known as the python. Eva. Like. Vrittida, which obtains its livelihood without endeavor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition, just maintain his body and soul together, or to become a famous religionist. Just as the great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain the body and soul. One who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Purport. Human life is simply meant for developing Krishna consciousness. One should not even try to earn a livelihood to maintain body and soul together. This is illustrated here by the example of the great python, which lies in one place, never going here and there to earn a livelihood, maintain itself. Yet it is maintained by the grace of the Lord. As advised by Narada Muni, Bhagavatam 1.5.18, Tasyaiva Heto Prayateta Kovida. One should simply endeavor to increase his Krishna consciousness. One should not desire anything else, even to earn his livelihood. There are so many examples of this attitude. Madhavendra Puri, for instance, would never go anywhere to ask for food. Would never go to anyone to ask for food. Sugadeva Goswami has also said, Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dana durma dandan. Why should one approach a person who is blind with wealth? Rather, one should depend on Krishna, and he will give everything. All the members of Krishna consciousness movement, whether they be grihasthas or sannyasis, should try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement with determination. And Krishna will supply all necessities. The process of ajagara vritti, the means of livelihood of a python, is very much appreciated in this regard. Even though one may be very poor, he should simply try to advance in Krishna consciousness, not endeavor to earn his livelihood. Dharmartam api neheta yatrartam varano dhanam anihani hamanasya mahaher iva vrittita. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition, just maintain his body and soul together, or or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. So just as a review, maybe we can hear from the devotees, what are the five types of adharma? What's that? Upadharma is one. Vidharma. What's that? Chala dharma. Yes, chala. And another one? Paradharma. And one more. That's the general classification. What's that? No, it doesn't have the word dharma in it. What's that? Abhasa, yes. And here it mentions that actual dharma, as mentioned in the other verses, is to become conscious of Krishna. After all, a dharma itself is meant to control our senses. Specifically, the senses are requiring sense gratification, and the control. What's the problem? What's going on here? Is that a kirtan? Oh, okay. Little tiny kirtaniyas. As Krishna says, yukta hara viharasya, yukta chetasu karmasu, yukta swapna bodhasya, yoga bhavati dukaha. That the yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. One who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate the material pains by practice of the yoga system. In other words, atakshi Krishna namadi, nabravad grayam indriyai, Sevam muke hu jivado swayam eva sparatida. Everything begins with the tongue. Prabhupada said, you'll be surprised to hear that spiritual life begins with controlling the tongue. The tongue has two activities. One is to taste, and the other is to vibrate. And the tongue always wants to taste something, whatever nonsense it may be. And it's always vibrating. Prajalpa. Just like Prabhupada gives the example that the frog, he's always vibrating. He's always making a sound, and he thinks he sounds very beautiful. Just like an ass is always braying. And the ass thinks he sounds wonderful. So similarly, the frog is always, whatever they call frog, croaking. But actually he's inviting the black snake to come and eat him. Similarly, when we talk prajalpa, then we're inviting time to come and devour us and put us into another body. Similarly, when we talk about the glories of anything, it's one thing hearing about the glories of something. The other thing is to vibrate the glories about something. Then the result is that the mind becomes absorbed in that particular subject matter. And when the mind is absorbed in something material, then the senses will naturally become agitated. Therefore, when the tongue is eating too much, because that's the first sign that we're in difficulty, when we eat too much. Sometimes people eat too much because they're accustomed to eat too much. And sometimes people eat too much just to satisfy their emotions. That no one loves me, no one listens to me, but this carrot is on my plate and it's surrendered. is offering full dandavats. And it's so surrendered, I'm going to merge it into me by eating it. And it's going to empower me. So in the future, I'll be able to eat more carrots, more cauliflower, broccoli, etc. So everything begins with this desire to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it. We want to control the material nature and enjoy it. And the most immediate control and enjoyment is food. Therefore, that's why the importance of prasad. Because it's a method, it's an avenue for us to control and enjoy and potentially in a spiritual way. Now, of course, if we're ravenous and we eat prasadam just like... it's not exactly in the most devotional mood, and therefore we can't expect to be particularly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And if we can't control this desire to lord it over the material nature in the shape of food, it's very unlikely we'll be able to control our desires in other ways. Prabhupada said that there's a direct line between the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. And of course, it's all when the tongue is agitated, the belly is agitated, the genitals are agitated. Naturally, the mind will become agitated. And when the mind is agitated, then there's frustration and anger. And one will speak all kinds of nonsense. You rascal, you did it to me. I'm innocent like a lamb, and you're like a tiger. Therefore, generally speaking, as Rupa Goswami tells us in the Nectar of Instruction, that people are interested in prajalpa, and that prajalpa comes from priyasas, over-endeavoring, atyahara. And over-endeavoring comes from ati-ahara, wanting to eat more than we need. If we want to eat more than we need, then we have to get some money to buy the food. And we need a house to put our body into. And so many other things. So atyahara will lead to prayasas, over-endeavoring. And that will lead to prajalpa. Because in order to get what we need, we're going to have to talk our way into it. Niyamagraha. And if we're absorbed in atyahara, eating too much or eating too little, over-endeavoring, and prajalpa, then naturally we won't have time to read Prabhupada's books, to engage in Krishna conscious activities, and the result will be atyahara. We won't know what we're doing, even we engage in spiritual life, or we just won't do it. It's too much. But we have to, our nature is happiness, so we'll have to become greedy for something. If we're not greedy for Krishna consciousness, then we'll become greedy for mundane enjoyment, and in order to get that, we'll have to associate with world-minded people. Therefore, the idea is that we should have some faith in Krishna, that if we actually utilize this body for Krishna's service, then the demands of this body will go down, and we don't have to concoct some kind of methodology to get material effort, to get happiness, because we can experience everlasting happiness, which is unlimited. And as mentioned in this verse in the purport, Tasyaiva Heto Priyate Kovido Nilabhyate Yad Brahmatarma Parida Talabhyate Dukavad Anyatak Sukham Kalyena Sarvatra Gabira Ramahasa. You know that verse? Tasyaiva, tasya, of this, of him or of this. Tasyaiva heto. Heto means the cause. Prayateto, the endeavor. Kovido. So an intelligent person, a kovida, he does an endeavor. For what? tala nalabhyate yad brahmitam uparida. Generally speaking, everyone is in this material world looking for happiness and trying to figure out how to obtain it by arrangements of the material energy. Main arrangements of the material energy begin, as Prahlad Maharaj said, then maitunadi griyamedi sukham hitucham. Actually, pumsa striya maituna bhavanitam toryoridi agranti mahu ato griya shetra sutapti vitera janasya moho yam aham ameti. A man meets woman. Of course, nowadays it could be man meets man, or woman meets woman, or dog or cat or anything. And therefore, pumsa striya maituni, and they try to enjoy happiness, sex life together. Pumsa striya maituni bhavami toyor ridya granti mahu. And then there's a knot that's tied in the heart. Oh, she loves me. Oh, he loves me. Oh, he'll provide everything I need. I'm attached. I can't live without him. I can't live without her. And then, ato griya shatra subtapti vitera. And they'll work like anything to provide a house, the equivalent of a nest for the birds, simply a bigger nest is the house. And then, ato griha shatra, then you need some field to cultivate some food, or you have to have a job to buy to have the money to buy the food. Vitapta, then you have wealth, vitera. Sutapta vitera. Children, the other soldiers, so they'll grow up and they'll protect me in my old age. Vitera, wealth, just in case something goes wrong. Janasya moho yamahang mamit. And then one becomes completely bewildered by the false ego. I am this, I am that, I am the husband, I am the wife, I am the father, I am the owner of this and that. And then one becomes completely absorbed in the bodily concept of life under the influence of the false ego. And one has to work harder and harder in order to protect one's belongings. As I've said before, the Brahmin with the kopins, with the underwear, bathing in the Ganges, drying his underwear on the bank of the Ganges, one mouse comes and takes the underwear away. So now he's embarrassed. His only possession, the underwear, has been stolen, and so now he has to beg another pair of underwear. So he gets another pair of underwear, but he's afraid that now another mouse may come and take his underwear away. So he gets a cat to guard his underwear. But the cat starts meowing and needs some milk. So he has to get some milk to feed the cat who's protecting his underwear. But now the cat needs milk, so he has to get a cow. So now he has a cat, is a cow, and he has to know in order to protect his underwear. But he didn't know how to milk a cow. There was no internet to teach him. So he got a wife, expert in milking cows. So now he had a wife and a cow and a cat to protect his underwear. But the wife wanted some children, so he had to get a house. But in order to pay for the house, he had to get a job. In order to go to the job, he needed a car. In order to get the car, he needed to work at night. So now he had two jobs. He had a house. He had a car. He had a wife. He had some children. And he had a cow and a cat to protect his underwear. So now he realized that in the course of time, it would be impossible to protect my underwear. So he just threw his underwear away and walked away. So that's material life. As soon as you... It's like the tar baby. Tar baby. It's a baby made out of tar. You know what tar is? You put your hand in it, it gets stuck. It's like this black kind of substance. You put your hand in it, and you get stuck to the... So you put your hand on the tar baby, you get stuck. In order to get your hand off, you put your other hand to push it away, and it gets stuck. And then you put your foot on it to push away your hands, and the foot gets stuck. And then you put your other foot on it, and it gets stuck too. So the more you endeavor to get out of the tar baby, the more you get stuck, like quicksand. The more you struggle, the quicker you sink. So everyone's endeavoring for happiness. No one's endeavoring for distress. But it said, Nalabhyate yad brahmatam uparida. Everyone's going up and down the material universe looking for happiness. Talabhyate dukavat anyataksukam. But in the course of wanting happiness, it'll be obtained automatically. Just like we don't look for distress, but it comes automatically. Sarva kalena sarvatra. So all time and all places, Gabhira Ramahasa. There's a subtle arrangements being made according to our past activities, and which will provide us with what we the results of our activities, and we'll get what we there's a certain amount of happiness that we deserve and a certain amount of distress. And it doesn't matter what we do. That kalyena sarvatra. In all times and all places, these things will be provided to us by the subtle arrangements of karma under Krishna's directions of time. Therefore, yadrit shalava santushto, dvanvatito, dimatsaraha, samak siddhaval, siddhal cha, kripapina nabhajite. One who is satisfied with gain, which comes from its own accord. In other words, there's going to be some gain because of our past activities. It'll come naturally. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada had a very wealthy disciple and who lived very opulent, and all his other disciples, or some of them, were complaining, oh, this man, he lives so opulent. How could he be a devotee? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, yes, I'll tell him to live in the forest. So he went to the forest. And he was living there, and one king came along and saw this renunciate living in the forest and said, he's such a nice renunciate, I think I'll give him part of my kingdom. So then he was given part of the kingdom, he became fabulously wealthy again, because that was his karma. So whatever we deserve, whatever we need, in Krishna's case, if we sincerely try to spread Krishna consciousness, then Krishna says, Anyas chintayanta omam, ye jana paripasate, te pi kuntiya, yajantya vidi purvakam. Is that right? Anyas chintayanta omam, ye jana paripasate, te shim nitya biyuktanam, yoga shemam vaham yaham. To those who are constantly devoted, who worship me with love, then I give them, I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. In other words, Krishna will take care of one. Even if it's not within one's karma to even be maintained, if we engage fully in Krishna's service, then Krishna will reciprocate accordingly and make sure that we get what we need and will protect what we actually need also. Of course, if someone wants something that he doesn't really need, is unnecessary, you can't expect Krishna to protect what you don't need or bring you something that you don't need. Because one gets karma. Say you were a multi-billionaire and you misuse that money, then, as it says in the Bhagavatam, then if a king has a heavy crown on his head full of jewels and gold, if it's not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, then it'll simply be a heavy weight which will sink him into material existence. So Krishna doesn't want his devotees to get into trouble by misusing his energy, because there's a reaction for that. And therefore he only gives what the devotee actually needs. And sometimes when the devotee wants more than he really needs, then Krishna may take it away from him. I remember there was one farm. They thought, ISKCON farm, they thought that we'll just rely on the cow. Whatever milk it gives, that will support us. But they also thought, support us, the basic necessities of life, included a car for everyone, and once a year vacation to India with the family, plus all kinds of other things. So the devotees were thinking like that. So they had 500 cows, but the 500 cows couldn't give enough milk to give support everyone's car, his house, his vacation to India. So he thought, oh, this cow protection is useless. Cows can't really provide what we need. But if someone didn't have a car, no one died for not having a car, generally speaking. Or if they didn't go to India once a year, people still survive. But if we have this conception that we need more than we actually need, then Krishna may not supply, even through the cows. So we should try to endeavor for which actually is necessary and rely upon Krishna to provide what we actually need. Now we hear in this verse also quoted from Shukadeva Goswami, which I'll read from the second canto, second chapter, verse 5. Chirani kim pati nishanti dishanti viksham naivangri pati parabrita sharito ya sushyan ruda guna kim adito vati napasana sanan kasmad bhajanti kavyo dana durmadandan. Are there no torn clothes lying on the common ground? Do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms and charity? Do the rivers being dried up no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by a hard-earned wealth? So this is significant. Sometimes we have temples and we rely upon the temples for our maintenance. But if we're not preaching very strongly, then the local people don't become attracted because they think they don't understand what we're doing. And therefore we go after certain social, economical classes of people who have wealth or come from a pious background. And when they come, they give us money easily and may support our rice, dal, and chapatis, but they're not so serious about taking up the actual process of devotional service. And therefore, we become dependent on them, and we become interested in flattering them, and our devotional service slackens. So therefore, one should rely upon Krishna and not become dependent on people who are not so serious about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'll take on their mentality by necessity. Especially people who are interested in a lot of economic development, generally speaking, they want to conform to the norms of society, and society's norms are not necessarily very devotional, either spiritually or even materially very beneficial. And therefore, becoming dependent on classes of people who are not serious about Krishna consciousness, who are more serious about keeping a good image in society and conform to the norms of materialistic society, generally slackens our devotional service and our enthusiasm to spread Krishna consciousness because we become complacent, depending on materialists for our maintenance. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? I remember one time I was with Prabhupada. I was sitting there in Los Angeles in his garden with another devotee named Karandapuru, and Prabhupada pointed to a tree and he asked me if I saw the bird in the tree. I didn't see any bird, but anyhow I said yes. And Prabhupada said, well, see that little bird? He said he has his nice nest, he has his female bird, he has the worm every day. Krishna is providing everything he needs. So if Krishna is supplying everything to the bird, then why don't you think he'll give you anything, everything that you need also? If Krishna can give a bird everything he needs, why won't he give his devotees everything they need also? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for a nice lecture. I don't know, I'm not sure if I understood correctly, like at the end you mentioned that we should not depend too much on Lakshmi coming from non-devotees. Is it right?
Yeah, for especially devotees who are not so serious. Unless we're very fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Unless we're actually using that money very diligently to spread Krishna consciousness to others, then we become complacent. That these people easily give money. I just have to act in a certain way, and then the money will come, and I don't really have to endeavor very much. And therefore, one's enthusiasm to spread Krishna consciousness slackens, because one is satisfied, one becomes complacent. And one, especially, one conforms. Generally, as I said, people have money in the material world. They're prominent in the material energy, in the material activities. And if they're a little pious, sometimes they give because they understand that they're given such a nice material position because of piety, and therefore they easily donate to the sadhus, thinking that they will increase their piety, they'll be able to enjoy more in the future. Anything else? Okay, thank you, Kuala. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.